Dixieland. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on what's left of this Friday morning. If you want to try to squeeze in a text, we should have a little time to be at the conclusion of today's show for me to respond to 513-433-0106. Joining us now is our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott is on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. Headed south and looking forward to being back in South Baldwin County here this afternoon.
So you were up in Montgomery for a day, contract review and ARPA oversight. Any takeaways from either of those two meetings?
Yeah, the typical oversight on contract review is looking to make sure that these state agencies are doing what they should be doing with the people's money. And so, we have our, I have my continuous consternation with some of these boards and their management contracts that they use. And so there were a couple of tense moments associated with that yesterday. We had one of these private management firms that's given themselves a 17% raise, who's presenting a contract that they negotiated, that they RFP'd, and they gave themselves a 17% raise. And now here they are, presenting the contract for approval. It's absurd. We've still got to do something about that. And then the ARPA oversight is a really interesting one. That's all this water and sewer money and this broadband expansion money. And so I'm pleased with where the Alabama Department of Environmental Management is on the water and sewer infrastructure. They're doing a good job with with their oversight of it and making sure it gets implemented properly and in time. I'm a little more concerned about the broadband side of this from ADECA. I mean, we're spending tons of money, $6,000 at least a household on average to connect some of these people. And I just have to wonder about lower cost options with some of this emerging technology, especially as we get out into these more rural areas when you may start talking about $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 per rooftop to connect, these folks to broadband. Do we need to start looking at options like Starlink that are $600? Could we not cover 10, 20 times as many people for the same amount of money with broadband? And, oh, by the way, do it right now.
Yeah, fair enough. I know you've been proactively trying to get some of these lawmakers interested in Starlink or at least aware of it, but it doesn't seem to be any kind of real push or acknowledgement of that.
Well, one of the things that I've done that has worked out is I've shown some of my colleagues an actual Starlink and said, here it is, take it home, go use it, see how easy it is to set up. And then especially in the more rural areas, it will work today, right? Go plug it in, stick it in the front yard, and it will work, and it will provide perfectly reasonable broadband speeds today, as opposed to this government program that, in all fairness, it may be better eventually if you've got fiber to your house, but it may take 5 or 6 or 10 years to make that happen. And so we're starting to get some traction on that, and you're starting to see legislators have firsthand experience using that, particularly in these rural areas where they just haven't had that as an option before.
Well, I mean, there's something pushing this. I just whoever the contractors are, the co-ops, the power companies throughout the state, that I guess are like, every rural broadband event or gathering I've been to, they've had a presence there. And I mean, how do they feel about that? That you're going to be, you would be introducing another option here?
Well, I've had those conversations, and you would expect they may feel a little threatened by that, but I haven't, that hasn't been the response. The response has been, this is a very good solution in certain areas. And you're correct, it's an immediate solution for some people. And so, they understand that when we start looking at, connection costs of $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a household, that gets very unrealistic very quickly and is likely to be an area that remains unserved by, you know, some of these ARPA funds because we simply run out of the money. And so they see that as a part of the overall plan to implement that and to be successful. And unfortunately, the pushback I get, and it's not even pushback, Jeff, it's almost like apathy that I got yesterday from a DECA that's managing this program was, well, if they want to apply for our grant process, they can. I said, well, that's not how it works. We need to be proactive about going out there and encouraging lower-cost emergent technologies to utilize what funding is available if they qualify and not, oh, we, the government, are sitting here in this white building just waiting on them to come to us with solutions. Elon Musk is not waiting to come to us with a solution. He's implementing his solution and moving on.
It's just other people's money, all right? Taxpayer money, it is whatever. That sounds like a lot of extra work. And they don't seem to be quite as interested in doing anything about it. I mean, that's just government as a whole.
It is, and that's my frustration, and what I push back against is let's be a little bit more innovative, guys. Let's be a little bit more receptive to something that will broadly achieve our goal, which is covering, you know, families in Alabama with broadband coverage. And so if you can do that for a tenth of the price, why in the heck are we not? And so we need to continue to look, again, at eligibility and whether or not they're eligible for the federal grant, but encouraging that as an alternative option so that you don't have, you know, you hear the sob stories of kids sitting in the McDonald's parking lot trying to do their homework at night, where with a $600 solution, we can, you know, that can be fixed as opposed to a $6,000 or $10,000 solution. Let's get it fixed.
Joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, so Todd Stacey was on earlier, and we kind of went round and round on this, and I can't imagine this is the case. So he thinks, or he says, the Elmore County Prison is going to exceed the allotted funds for both of those prisons that y'all had put aside in that special session in 21 for Elmore and Escambia County, that it's just the costs have ballooned and things have been added, and that's just the reality. He says the prison authority, without getting the green light from you guys, could go just to bond market and bond the money for the Escambia County prison. How is that even possible? That especially if it costs as much as this Elmore County facility did, can they just go do this without the legislature's okay?
So it is scary, and you know, as I'm listening to you, I'm sitting here thinking, what did we miss, you know, in this legislation? Where's the problem? And I will remember at least once before this prison bonding authority, I forget the exact name of it, has already done this once, right? Where they've gone back to the bond market and they've approved contract changes that were significant. And if I remember correctly, Jeff, and I need to go verify this, but I think the prison legislation gave that small group of legislators broad authority to do just that. And that's a scary thing. And we did it, and we probably ought not to have. But going back and looking at that, they probably, now it is a group of legislators still, but it's a very select group of legislators.
That's insane, because what if we decide, well, we're going to charge $4 billion a prison. And you know what? What the public was anticipating would be $1.3 billion. It goes up to like $5 billion or whatever they decide it is. I mean, like, how does that make it through?
It shouldn't. And those legislators that have been entrusted with the authority by their colleagues should stand in the gap as a check and balance. You know, the argument for doing something like that is that the Alabama legislature is not in session year round, and that sometimes decisions have to be made in the interim. Now, is that a perfect argument? No, far from it. But those legislators that have been entrusted, again, by their colleagues with that responsibility should absolutely, you know, use that authority judiciously and make sure that they're making good decisions for the state of Alabama and after careful research about the validity of the increase in these costs.
Well, and so, you know, it's just a blank check. as long as a number of legislators agree. But, Senator, like, this became a problem. Why couldn't they just ask for a special session?
That's fair as well. And probably in hindsight, and you know me, I'm just shooting you straight, but in hindsight, that probably is not a provision that should have been in the law. We probably should have done just that and said, listen, if you get in a bind where you're having to double or triple the amount of money needed for these prisons, you need to come back to the full legislature and work through that process. And if it is an emergent situation or even urgent, then you need to do that through a special session. We have a mechanism for that. And that probably should not have been those powers and authorities probably should not have been as broad as they are.
I mean, Senator, this was a special session 3 years ago, and we were told at the time, we got to hurry up. We got to do something. We cannot wait. We got to do this now. We can't wait till the next session. And then, like, you and I would talk about it for a while there every week. Any news? No, I don't know what's going on here. and then we're told that you had to put this into law because the legislature moves too slow. I mean, that doesn't really line up. I mean, it's just, did they sell this aspect to you, or did you just kind of flew under the radar?
I think the fair answer is probably some of both, right? Did it fly under the radar for some? Yes. In my instance, I will tell you, I remember specifically, hey, these folks have got to make decisions quickly. These are fellow legislators. This is, you know, these are budget chairmen who are going to be and are typically very concerned about the impacts to the budgets and how they operate, and are going to be the ones that are leading that conversation anyway. And so the statute empowered them to make certain decisions that way. Now, I'll tell you this, Jeff, it's also a statute that can be changed. And to the extent that's something we need to look at, then we can do that as well. I am increasingly concerned about not just the cost of these prisons, but just how badly we missed the estimate. And that's something on so many projects, specifically with this administration, that have really frustrated me, is that they are sold to the Alabama legislature or to the people in general as one cost. And then when we get down to what this thing's really going to cost, it's something that is orders of magnitude off. We're not even talking 10, 20, 30, 40. It's several times what it was originally going to cost. And that's just unacceptable.
It is. And it's like this, though, knowing these contractors enter into these agreements, knowing that, well, the dirty little secret is these guys in state government are going to have unlimited funds if needed. We'll just jack up the cost. I mean, this construction management where it's open-ended, and then on top of that, saying we're going to give broad authority to a handful of lawmakers seems like just a recipe for disaster.
Well, and I'm not going to necessarily defend the contractors in this instance, but I will say this. I don't know that these estimates were coming from the contractors necessarily. I think, you know, a lot of these estimates may have been coming, you know, from the bureaucrats in the administration, and, you know, some of whom aren't here anymore. And you have to wonder, you know, is that the wisest way to get an estimate, especially if we continue to see them be off as much as they have been? And listen, we've had inflation. There's no question about that. We've had supply chain issues. There's no question about that. All of those are valid, but they're valid in 10, 20, 30% increments. They are not valid in orders of magnitude.
Well, it's stunning that something like that would make it into law, that you would not say, hey, we had the power to purse string and exceed some of that on this prison question, especially the way it, well, even up to that point, Senator, where the way it was handled by the governor and the lease build and all of that. And I think she dropped a lot of, she should have lost a lot of credibility there, having to come with her hat in her hand to the Alabama legislature with a special session. And it was just like, don't worry about that. Whatever you need, Governor.
Well, unfortunately, you've seen this in the past, and I have seen it since, you know, been in the legislature 6 years now, and I've seen it over and over again. We saw it with the first round of ARPA money, where the legislature bet the governor's, you know, urging certainly, urged the legislature to put this funding in huge discretionary buckets that were then appropriated essentially again by the governor's office. And then with ARPA II, the legislature said, yeah, let's not do that again. So we put them in smaller buckets, but then established a committee very similar to the Prison Finance Committee that also had the ability to move some of that money around. And you saw them do just that without the full body's approval. And so there are merits to that argument. I'm just not sure that they outweigh the responsibility of the Alabama legislature to appropriate funding.
Well, and I guess, you know, the CARES Act, too, the like executive
yes.
amendment, and you voted, you're the only one to vote against it.
The one Nova, yeah, I remember.
But that was a different time. But, like, I guess, like, why even have a legislative branch? We're just going to sign over all this to the executive.
Well, and that was my argument with CARES, was just that we were abdicating our responsibility. And so this is somewhat of a different, I won't even call it a middle ground. It's some attenuation of that allows still certain legislators, again, budget chairmen, to be very much focused on whether or not this is possible without calling the full legislature back into session. But when we start having cost overruns that are this significant, that's a problem, and that's probably something we need to address.
I mean, could you imagine back when Bob Riley was governor, or Guy Hunt, any of the Republican governors that had to serve with a Democrat legislature, just being that, conceding that to the governor? We're in kind of a new era here, though, with a lot. I mean, they didn't even do that with Bentley, though, did they?
No, you're right. That's a good point to bring up. I do not see, if we had divided government, that would ever happen. And so you're right about that. And again, I think as long as my colleagues, those committee chairmen that are on those committees and watching that are very much paying attention and exercising that power judiciously, then okay. And if they're not, then we got a problem when we look at it again. I remember when we were talking about I-10 Bridge, the State Toll Authority is another entity that's set up that way, where certain members of the Toll Authority can issue debt in order to manage the State Toll Authority. And it was a surprise to everybody that it existed in that manner. So it's something that probably is worth looking at.
I feel like there's a distrust of the herd of turtles there out of the governor's office. But that's a discussion for another time. Senator, we got to get out of here. We're out of time, but thanks for making time for us.
You got it. Y'all enjoy this beautiful weekend. Go fishing.
State Senator Chris Elliott there. We got to get a break here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.